Good evening. It's great to be in front of you this evening. I hope everyone has had a wonderful week and hope everyone will continue to have a wonderful week. I'd like to share a couple thoughts that I have with you. And one of the things that I've been noticing, and this may be fairly obvious to some people, but I've been doing a lot more reading of the Bible than I have in the past, and which is a good thing. But the more I read the Bible, the more things I find. Little subtle little lessons that are within the text, things that I didn't even realize were there until I read it the third, the fourth, or the fifth time. And I read it, and I look at it, and I go, wow, I never thought about that before. Now I understand that a little better. The Bible is truly the most amazing book that I've ever read. And I would encourage you, if you have not been reading the Bible as much as you have, or even if you have been reading the Bible just a whole lot, you need to read even more, because it is just an amazing book. But tonight I would like to look at a few verses that I've come across in my reading that I believe have much to teach us. And hopefully these are going to be some verses that maybe you'll look at it in a different way. Maybe that you haven't looked at before. Maybe you've looked at them exactly this way before. But whatever it is, I think there's definitely some lessons that we can learn. First, I'd like you to turn over to Matthew chapter 9. And we're gonna stay in Matthew for the majority of the lesson. So we're going to read first in Matthew chapter 9, and we're going to read verses 1 through 7. This is an account that many of us are familiar with. Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. It says, "And he entered into a ship, and passed over, and came into his own city." Verse 2. "And behold, they brought him a man sick of palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven, or to say, Arise and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then he saith to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house." So when I look at this, and we've heard this story many times, and I think about this, and I think, so what did Jesus do in this instance? Well, obviously when we look at this, we think he healed a paralyzed man. And I would say you are correct in realizing that. I would also say that he showed the scribes his power to heal. Showed them that he definitely had that power. He also showed his power to discern men's hearts. These people didn't say out loud that this man blasphemes. They thought it. And Jesus said, I know what you're thinking. So he did all these things. But what was the first thing that Jesus did? The first thing, when that man was lowered down, Jesus says, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven. Jesus, in this instance, was showing this man the key to happiness. Above all these other things that he taught and these other things that he did, Jesus was showing this man that you need to look past the physical and focus on the spiritual. One of the most important things we can learn from this passage is the importance that God places on the soul of an individual. And you say, I understand that. But so many times in the world today, we place so much emphasis on the physical well-being of people, and we tend to forget or push to the back burner the spiritual importance and their well-being. You know, what would you do if you're walking out of the church here and you're in the parking lot and you see one of the children run out and there's a car coming? Well, every one of you would run and rush and grab that child and save that child from that car. But if we're honest with ourselves, how many times have we seen someone getting ready to be blindsided spiritually? Just creamed by a car. And we don't say anything. How many times have we known individuals that we know would benefit from the wonderful gospel that he gives? How many times have we taken the opportunity to say, you know what, you need to hear, you need to believe, you need to repent, you need to confess, you need to baptize. If you don't understand that, I would love to study with you about that. How many times have we taken that opportunity? Or how many times have we focused more on the physical? Oh, if they were about to get hit by a car, sure, I'd shove them out of the way. I may even dive in front and risk myself for them. God says you need to worry less about the physical because it's secondary, and focus more on the spiritual because that's what matters. He says, if you want true happiness, if you want to be of good cheer, focus on the spiritual because that's where the happiness is. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23, here we read another story, another account that we're all very familiar with. And it says, and when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Then the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? So again, what did Jesus do? Well, Jesus showed his power over all creation. Indeed, he did. He commanded the waves to be quiet, the sea to be calm, the winds to die down, and they did. He illustrated to his disciples the need for a true faith. He did that too. But as I read this several times, one of the things that Jesus did was, when everything around him was going nuts, everything around him was going crazy, Jesus stayed calm. Jesus didn't get upset. He didn't get excited about everybody. Even when people were yelling at him. You know, this was not a calm situation. They didn't just come down and say, oh, Jesus, you know, if you could wake up. I mean, you can picture these people scared to death, come down screaming, Master, 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 you have to save us. And he wakes out of his sleep. But he didn't allow those around him to weigh him down. He didn't allow those around him to affect his attitude. How many times have we been in situations in work or in school? I know I have been. When it seems like everything's just falling apart. You know, nothing is going right for you. The world around us is going crazy. What's your reaction going to be? Jesus, he didn't get pulled into that. He didn't start yelling. Even though he was right, he had the answer. He wasn't yelling back at them. Well, you need to listen to me. Do this, do this. No. He had a balanced outlook. He said, why do you have such little faith? Don't you have faith in me? And then he calmed the situation. The next time your world's crazy, you shouldn't react to the situation. You shouldn't let them dictate how you act. You should settle yourself, recenter yourself on what's important, and don't let those people around you affect you. One thing that my dad has always told me, and he told me that his dad told him, so I'm going to tell it to my boys as they go throughout life, but he said, every time I get worked up over, and I say, Dad, it's not fair, I don't know. And he'd say, you know what? In 100 years, it's not going to matter a hill of beans difference either way. And I think about that. And he used to frustrate me at the time. I said, but, and he was right. I'd be like, fine. And I can't wait to say that. I cannot wait to say that to my boys. And I will. But his dad told him, I'm going to tell mine. But it all comes back from Jesus. And he says, you know what? Center yourself. Don't let people affect you. Matthew chapter 26. And in Matthew chapter 26, we're going to look at verse 47 through 50. Matthew chapter 26, verse 47 through 50. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, and the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same as he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. Then Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then they came, laid hands on Jesus, and took him. And we know that they took him, and he was crucified. So what did Jesus do in this situation? Jesus showed his passiveness over a situation that he clearly could have taken over. The Bible tells us that if he would have wanted to do it any time, he could have caused the whole situation to stop. Could have brought down legions of angels and destroyed the world if he wanted to, but he didn't. He showed his willingness to submit to his Father's will. He said, not my will, but thine. And he carried that through. He didn't just say it. But But what else did he do? And it took me, I read this several times before I found this, and you may have found it right off. But one of the things that's interesting in this verse is how he addressed Judas. And he says, Judas comes up to him. Jesus knows why he's coming. Jesus knows what he's going to do. He foretold it earlier that Judas is going to betray me. He knows what's going to happen. Judas comes up to him, says, Master, how are you? He says, Friend, wherefore art thou come? He addresses Judas as a friend. When faced with a personal confrontation, someone wanting to do him physical harm, how did Jesus react? With love. Probably even pity, because, you know, he realized what Judas was doing and what was ultimately going to happen to Judas. And he addressed him as friend. How do we react when we're confronted by someone? I know how I want to react when I'm confronted by someone, especially if someone wants to do me harm or someone is unjustly accusing me of something. And they come at me and they say, you know, the finger's going and you. What do I want to do? I want to get right back in their face and tell them, no, you. What did Jesus do? Jesus, when someone was coming to take his life, he had love and compassion for that person. And he said, Friend, why are you here? Not because Jesus wanted to know. Jesus knew why he was there. But I think in this instance, he was hoping Judas would think about it. Friend, what are you doing? So, as you go throughout this week, I want you to try, as Jesus did, and I want us all to try, to look past the physical needs of people and appreciate the importance of the spiritual. Get yourself right with God. If you get yourself right with God, then you can be of good cheer. If we're of good cheer, we can be of good cheer in no matter what situation we find ourselves in. No matter how the people around us are acting at work, no matter how hateful they are, no matter how much backstabbing is going on, we can say, you know what? My trust is in God. I've got my spiritual self right. I'm going to be okay. And when someone comes at us with that personal conflict that we've got to deal with it in love. Show compassion. Don't trade evil for evil, but trade evil for good. So these are just some things. And I would admonish you, please, open up your Bible. Look at your favorite verse and read it again. And you're going to find so many wonderful things in there, things that you never realized before.